This is the national radio broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American leader.
Our earth is not existing independent of Mars, Jupiter, Mars, and other objects in our family of planets. Not existing alone, no. We exist in a family that is held by a gravity, held by a gravity that keeps this family together, going around the sun as the center for that gravity. Yes. So we believe in that everything is connected to something else. All right. We believe also that life is one. Life is one. If life wasn't one, we couldn't study biology, zoology. We couldn't study life, marine life, land, plant life on the land. We couldn't study life. We would have no science to connect our studies. But because life is one also, we can connect our studies, and we find that these separate sciences are also tied to each other. There's a relatedness, a connectedness. Yes, a state of being connected. So that is the progression we see for the oneness. We progress from one perception, and we take that perception, that perception enables us to progress to another perception. And we keep progressing from one perception, get a big perception that is inclusive. And then you can progress from that big perception and tie all the other smaller perceptions in as one puts the puzzle together. It's like putting a puzzle together. But you got to begin with the object of seeing all the parts, believing that this is a wholeness, this is a oneness, this is a consistent logic. Then you can start putting the pieces together. So we progress to a belief in the oneness of life. And then from there, we progress to a belief in the oneness of the human family. The human family. We are not disconnected, we are one life. The religious people receiving revelation, they come to a belief in humanity. That this life we see in the form we call human beings, human form, that this life is really spiritual, and this life is evolving spiritually. This has nothing to do with Darwinism. I think he was a thief that confused his information. Yes. Has nothing to do with Darwinism. The evolution of man come from the apes and all that. No, we don't believe that. When man came, he was man. Came straight from God's will. Yes. So we believe in the spiritual unity of all people. Spiritual unity of all people. We look separate. Our nationalities are different. Our features are different. But our spirit is one. The human spirit is one. And we hear the human spirit when the baby is born. The baby crying. That's the first evidence of the human spirit being in that body. The baby crying, or the baby looking peaceful, or the baby complaining, take this dirty diaper off, and the baby can't speak in English. The baby can't speak in Japanese. The baby can only speak in baby language. And baby language for all people is one. We all have the same baby language. We all cry the same baby language. We all smile and we learn to chuckle a little bit before we learn to crawl. We are chuckling in the same language. Yes, we have one nature originally for all of us. One nature, one creation. And when we get old, we still have that baby in us. Some men, they hate to let another man see him cry. They'll let a woman see him cry, maybe. But they just can't stand to let another man see them cry. But when they cry in the same language. I've never heard a Mexican cry in Spanish. We all cry in the same language. That's evidence. God designed us. He knows us. And He designed us to teach us so that we would think. He gave us intelligence and reflection, intelligence and curiosities. So He knew in time we would be curious to know, why are we made like this? Why is the life like this? And our searching for answers guide us to believe that there is a God, an authority above man, that designed all this and did it to educate us, to teach us His ways. His ways. I remember reading the scriptures of the Bible where one prophet is saying that he knew, he had proof of the existence of God from studying His handiworks. His handiworks, meaning the artful designs, the beautiful designs, how things are structured in the heavens, how the universe is structured, how the skies are structured. All that guided this searcher to believe that there was a designer of great authority over everybody and everything that designed the universe, skies and earth and everything. And we down here on earth, we're still little students of God's works. And many of us naturally start searching and looking at these signs. And we naturally are motivated to believe stronger in the Creator, stronger in God. And many of us even get revelations on the level of human beings. Not angels and not prophets, but on the level of human beings. Common people, that's what I'm trying to say. On the level of common people, many of us get revelation. And we want to share it, we're just anxious to share it with a friend. That I think I'm gonna preach God's word. I believe I can help people understand. Huh? That's happening all the time. That never stops. So we believe in the oneness, this oneness that progresses for the human mind that is searching for understanding. It progresses from a belief in the wholeness of the world or the universe to a belief in the oneness of matter and the oneness of living things, the oneness of the human family. The oneness of the human family is a demand on us now. The global communities have merged together. We can't live separate anymore. All nations are finally connected. They sit in the United Nations. I don't know any that are not there, that want to be there, or that is important enough to be there. United Nations. We have a United Nations. All nations have one forum. They sit and they discuss problems for mankind all over the planet Earth. They discuss problems between themselves, but they also discuss problems for the good progress and destiny of the whole human family on this planet Earth. Our scriptures address such a time coming. And our scriptures have come to prepare us time after time, generation after generation, for this time that we are living in right now. And we may be lost from humanity. We may be so caught up in lifestyles, these transit lifestyles that come and go so quick. We may be caught up in that. But know for sure, God has angels, and His angels have never left their responsibility. And they're still more in charge of the human spirit than we are, His angels. Yes, they are more in charge of the human spirit than we are. And they are guarding the human spirit, humanity's spirit. The true human spirit, humanity spirit. They're guarding that spirit and helping us survive these changes and all these problems we have for the environment and for human behavior Yes, they are guarding this spirit so that this spirit survive all these troubles and one day support God's design for matter and for man. Bear patiently with me. The term for this oneness in Islam is Tawheed. It comes from the word which means one. Wahid. Wahid means one. Tawheed means oneness. Tawheed, oneness. It's a little stronger than in meaning than just oneness. It means a oneness that is acquired by the Creator, God Himself, who Himself is one God. So it's a oneness that proceeds from the source, from God Himself, who Himself is one God, one Creator for all things. Yes. So we find now that we separated from each other. If that separation is going to make us have indifference and suspicions that make a problem for the global community, hate and distrust that bothers or troubles the direction that the whole global community has come to and must follow. Whole global community. Yes. So, you know, we used to believe in nationalism so strongly that our belief in nationalism didn't respect other nations. I'm talking about the United States of America. We used to believe in nationalism, the national destiny of the United States, so strongly that we were taking and robbing robbing other nations of their resources, conquering them, dominating them for our own glory, to increase our own power and our own superiority as a nation. Now, some of that is still among some people in these United States. Some still want that, but you can't have it. You can't have it. Time is out for that. And our wise and honorable leaders in our government, they know that, and I compliment them. They're doing a fine job of promoting respect for other nations, other cultures, other people, and other religions. So we have reached a great time. I remember if an African or black person, a Negro or a black person, African American, would make it known in the public that they were Muslim, they were condemned, and you'd be made afraid for your life. You'd start fearing for your life. They used to call us dirty black Japs during World War II when they learned we were Muslims. They were saying that you support our enemies, the Japanese. So they called us dirty Japs, dirty black Japs, and niggers. They never stopped calling us niggers until just here very recently. Yeah. So, I mean, they would yell at us and call us that in the public. I'd see my mother dressed like a Muslim in the public, and they would call it, you dirty Japs, you do black Japs, you niggers. So this is the time we have come through. Thank God the time is over. At least we feel comfortable, very comfortable with our government. We know our government doesn't support that kind of narrowness, that kind of ignorance. We know that. But some of the citizens of the United States of America, they still think, you know, to be a citizen of the United States is to be a Christian. To be a Christian is to be a citizen of the United States. If you're not a Christian, you're Muslim, the United States ain't really your country. Some of them have that attitude right now.
Yes.
And you don't have to go in a white community to find it.
That's right.
But thank God, as they said in China, when we visited China, As soon as we got there and the host was able to stop and brief us on our trip and what we were to expect there, the guide said, the situation is good in the heavens. Well, thank God. I don't know what Dr. King meant when he said, I've been to the mountain, on the mountain top, been to the mountain, and he said, I don't know if I'll get there with you, but you'll get there. I don't know exactly what he was talking about, but I think he'd be happy to know that the situation is good in the heavens. It may not be good, all that good down here on earth, but the situation is good in the heavens. And I'm not only speaking with a reference to government leadership, but also the great religious leadership of the global community. I can say of that too, the situation is good in the heavens. We have the great religions coming together, not just the people of the book and Muslims who also are kin to people, or like the people of the book, because we established upon that same progression of revelation, prophets and revelation. We connect with that and we established upon that, just as the people of the book. also Buddhists, who have different idea about revelation, and they don't share belief in the prophets, we call the prophets of the book. And the Hindus and others, there are many. Many groups, they're religious groups, they're spiritual groups. They hold the unseen above the seen. And that's the connection for all of us. So we have to even connect with the Buddhists and others, because they hold the unseen above the seen. They hold the abstract to be more important than the concrete. Huh? So we have to have a connection with them too. So you see how God made the world? He made it so wonderful. So wonderful. I don't see how a person can study God's work and not be a believer. Oh, you really cheat yourself. Cheat yourself out of heaven. Yes, yes, and I don't mean after you die. Yes, there's a taste of death and heaven. All in this life while we walk the ground of earth. Yes, there's a taste of death and heaven. Yes. And you can't have heaven until you have a taste of death. A taste of death. Yes. You have to die to the concrete. Then you can become alive in the abstract. Praise be to Allah. Yes, so we share a belief in humanity's soul. Humanity has one soul. One soul. Oh, no, he's confused. The Holy Quran says that he created man, firstly, from one soul, and made of that one, two, and they became man and woman. And from those two, all people came. Now you're talking about Mr. Muhammad, you're talking about what happened in the beginning of reality. And it's still happening today. Yes. Humanity is one soul. One soul. Humanity is one soul. And if you study, if you didn't forget your junior college and college education, and you don't have to go, you don't have to do anything but just go to the dictionary and just start looking up soul, and you will learn more than you know right now about it. And look up ethos, and you'll learn more if you look up ethos. So every people have a soul, not just the individual members in that race or that people, but the people as a whole have a soul. And how is that soul produced? Produced just like your individual soul is produced. It is produced by your experiences. When you share the similar experiences or the same experiences, you come to have a shared soul, a soul that you share. So we think of ourselves, black folks, as soul folks. We have more abstract than reality. We have more abstract than concrete. Yes, we do. And but our abstract is so limited. It's a dark abstract. It's an abstract that doesn't allow us to benefit from it in our practical life so much. We can't get much benefit from it in our practical life. What I'm talking about, soul brother. Soul brother, oh, we're soul brothers. Soul brothers mean we are connected soul-wise. Huh? So we are conforming with our language to the belief in the oneness of people in terms of their spirit and their soul who share experiences over a long period of time. They share the same experiences. So they have the same sensitivities. They have the same emotions. Their emotions are similar, different from the emotions of people who didn't share their particular experiences over a long period of time, over generations. Huh? So we have this and we call ourselves soul brothers. Well, if we are soul brothers, then how come we act so different spiritually? One is spiritually going to hell. Another one is spiritually going to church or mosque or something. He's devoted to religion. And another one is spiritually going to hell. But when they meet each other on the street, hey, soul brother, how you doing, homie? Huh? But really they're not. So this is a kind of a past genetic thing we got.
Yes, sir. Yes.
It's a memory in our genes,
yes,
that can't come up here.
Yes.
It won't work up here. But it's a genetic based thing. And we know that we shared the experience of coming across the waters in the ship, coming from Africa, from different parts of Africa, and being brought to America to be cheap labor. Huh? Cheap labor. Unpaid labor. Kept people unpaid labor. Yeah, the master did give you something. You all thought, oh yeah, it's time to pay up. It costs something to keep animals.
Yeah, that's right.
Not to mention human beings.
Yeah.
So it did keep them, and a lot of you didn't want to go. That's history. When freedom came, I said, Master, I don't want to leave you. I don't know what to do. I don't know where I'm going. Huh? That's history. Okay, but getting back to my point, we share that genetic memory, as the theologian C. Eric Lincoln identified it, a genetic memory that we have in common. Yes, so we have this genetic memory of the bad experiences, beginning with coming across the water and many of us dying on the way and being thrown overboard into the water, into the Atlantic Ocean, and arriving here and being chained up, put in chains, and taken to the plantation to be orientated for chattel slavery, an animal level of existence. Yes, so we kind of have that in our genetic memory, in the gene bank. So I think that's why we want to recognize that we are soul brothers. But it's time for us to really start studying the spirit of our people, not the spirit of Wallace or of W. Dean Muhammad, not the spirit of Reverend Jesse Jackson. No, the spirit of the people as a whole, as one people. It's time for us to study that spirit and see what happened to that spirit that changed it and divided us up the way we are divided now, and turned us against each other the way we are against each other now. Under the great leaders of the past, beginning with Frederick Douglass and maybe even before his time, coming all the way up to Malcolm or Dr. Martin Luther King and Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm and all these people, and even to myself, coming up to the present time, we need to study what happened to the spirit of the people that they lost a common spirit and still call themselves soul brothers.
Yes, that's right.
Praise be to Allah. So we share a belief also in an ethical global destiny. The people of the book and the people of the Quran. We believe that eventually all the people on earth, all these nations, all of these group efforts that we have for the betterment of human life, we have to accept that rule should be ethical. Ethical rule. Where ethical rule is the destiny for moral life. You hear me? Moral life starts when we come into natural life. We come into what we call moral consciousness. And that evolves as we become scientific, rational and scientific. That evolves higher, and we look for the ethical order or an ethical rule. That means our schools have to become ethical. Our studies have to become ethical. That means you can't eliminate the moral factor from anything. You can't eliminate the moral factor from education. You can't eliminate the moral factor from politics. You can't eliminate the moral factor from judiciary or from the executive. No, the moral factor has to be respected everywhere. In our sciences, in our academics, everywhere. The moral factor has to be so that a committee can question what has been ordered by even the President of these United States, by Congress, by the Senate, even by the President of these United States. An ethics committee can question what they have ordered and say this is not ethical, and get support from other departments of government and from the people themselves if they have to correct the problem. Yes. So this is evidence that God created the whole universe, all life and man's life, to be responsible and bring about a beautiful garden of paradise on earth. Yes. When God talks about a sanctuary, when he talks about Eden where your soul began, God is not only revealing or showing you what he loves, God is giving you an idea for you to pursue. So that one day you will achieve a garden of Eden for mankind on this planet Earth. This is not to say I don't believe in the unseen. I do. I'm required to believe in the unseen as a Muslim and follower of Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. Yes, he followed the same tradition that the other prophets were given before him. I am required to believe in a life after death. I am required to believe in a higher existence than this we know down here. I am required to believe that human soul is rising. And it will not stop rising. It rises, it keeps rising. Even when the body, the physical body is dead, the soul still wants more. And you don't you know this would be a silly and crazy logic? If the world was created to have me achieve, and now my body won't support me continuing to live with a body, but my mind and my soul still wants to achieve. To abort my spirit would be insane. I still have that same urge in me to contribute to mankind. I still have the same urge in me to better my soul, to enrich my mind, to see more of God's realities, and to cut me off and say, oh, he died, he got cancer, killed him, or he got hit by a truck. That's the end of him. It doesn't make sense. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive it in its entirety, you may call 708-862-7733 or visit wdmpublications.com. Ask for catalog number. For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call 708-798-6750 or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.